about us. He sees the heart. And that is comforting because many times as we look in our world today, people are viewed by their outside, how they look or how tall they are. I'm so thankful it's not how tall they are because everyone's taller than me and I'm my family now. So I'm thankful it's not that. My identity is definitely not found in my stature. But I'm thankful that God looks at our hearts. And that's comforting, but also it's convicting too, isn't it? Because we can play games at times with God, or people can think that they can try to pretend to be something on the outside that they're not, but God sees what's really going on. And for a Christian, that is a blessing. It's a blessing that God knows us, He knows our hearts, and He also helps instruct us to keep us on the straight and narrow and right path. This morning, I'd encourage you to take your Bibles. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Before we go there, I'd like to just take a minute to reflect on what we've been covering and learning. We've been going through a number of Sundays now and looking at the church and looking at what it means to be a biblical church, a healthy church. And we see that as we go through God's Word, Christ has much to say. Jesus has much to say. The Word of God has much to say about the church and our ministry and the calling that He's given to each one of us as Christians. As we look at God's Word, we need to remember that if we want to be a healthy church, a church that's growing God's way, then we want to be actively obeying and learning about Jesus Christ's commands. So we've repeated or mentioned this statement a couple times as we've gone through the study, is that a biblically healthy and spiritually growing local church, which is what we want to be here at Open Door, if we would be that way, we must be actively obeying and learning about Jesus Christ's commands, principles, and desires for His church. And actually, that's why we want to preach through the whole counsel of God's Word. We want to read through God's Word and understand it and learn it. So whether it's in Sunday school or Bible studies or morning times of preaching, we want to go through God's Word and see what is God calling us as Christians to do? How is He calling us to live as members of His church? This morning we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to focus in verses 5 through 13, but we're going to start in verse 1, because this is a section in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where He challenges us, instructs us, if we would be His disciples, how we ought to pray. Start in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, actually, and this is right in the middle of a long sermon that Jesus has been giving. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but in verse 1, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come to your word this morning, that I pray that your word and your commands would be very precious to us. I pray, Lord, that we would not come to your word this morning or even come to this important ministry of prayer as we desire to grow as a church family. I pray that we would come with right minds, not with flippant hearts or hearts even already, arms crossed, saying we're not ready to obey. Father, please work your grace and your truth in our lives through your word, through your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray that as we walk through a very familiar passage, but a very important passage of Scripture, that, Lord, you would help us to see the rich truths, to mine rich truths that are here in your word. And I pray that we'd apply them well through your Spirit to our lives. Father, I pray that you would help me in my life, in my prayer life, help me to grow as you want me to grow in the ministry of prayer. And I pray that you would do the same for each Christian here this morning and for our church family as a whole, so that we would be a healthy, growing body of believers, growing in the way that you have called us to grow for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is something that people generally, or maybe you find yourself generally, talking about more than actually getting to do? One thing for me sometimes is hunting and fishing. I'll talk about hunting, I'll talk about fishing, I might even go to the Bass Pro Store, but I don't really go out and do it a whole lot because it just gets busy. But it's one of those things that I have intentions to do sometime, but it doesn't always happen. Maybe for some of us, it's exercising. I know for me, I went to the doctor, and he's like, Sam, you need to lose some pounds. I know that, so I got to get working on that. But exercise, and we talk about it, and oh, it's such a beautiful fall day out there. It'd be a beautiful day for a walk, but then do I actually go and do it? Exercising, sometimes I tend to talk about it more than actually doing it. How about those one-day activities? Remember, you're looking in the garage, oh, yeah, one day I've got to paint the walls in here. Or one day we got to clean this out. Or one day, oh yeah, I should get my whatever it is, transition from summer clothes to winter clothes. You're in that time now where it's kind of like, which do you do? Do we get out the sweaters and everything? Or do we kind of keep the shorts and t-shirts out? You know, I think we're leaning more towards getting towards the sweaters and long sleeves. But sometimes we talk about things, but we don't actually fall through on them. We talk about maybe traveling. Well, people love to travel, make plans or vacation, but sometimes we talk a lot more about it than actually do it, because vacation, if you go on vacation, is normally short in light of the whole year. One thing that, if we're honest with ourselves, that many Christians, or many times even here, local churches can talk a lot about prayer or praying, but it's one of those things that we don't always learn to do well, together or individually. But it's important, as we think of church growth matters. That's our next section we're going to look at and probably close out our time in this focus of God's church, is looking at church growth. We hear that often. Pastor Sam, how can we grow this church? How can we grow? Or how do I grow as a Christian? And we want to. I remember when I first was meeting with friends here that have now become close friends here at Open Door with the pulpit committee a while ago now, going, you know, over 9 years ago now, and just getting to hear questions asked. And I think one of the questions that came was, Pastor Sam, how can you help? How is Open Door Church going to grow? And I remember talking through that and saying, we have to grow God's way. We have to grow God's way. There's a lot of ways we could grow numerically, but we make sure we need to follow God's word and grow his way. And there are these regular commands that God gives us, and one of those to grow in our walk with Christ is to flourish in Christ, is to grow in the ministry of prayer. But many times we'll say, have you caught yourself saying this? Someone shares a burden and they say, oh, I'll be praying about that. And then you go through the week and you realize the next time you saw them, I didn't pray about it. Have you ever felt your way? I've felt that. I've caught that many times. Now, a lot of times, if I can, I try to pray with that person right there, or definitely write it down and be praying about it throughout the week. Many times we'll get prayer requests. Please pray for such and such. And yet, are we praying about that ourselves? Many times we are. But do we pray for the needs of others' burdens and requests as they share them with us? I've heard many Christians say this many times, and I've been there with them. I really need to grow in my prayer life. I really need to grow in this ministry of prayer, but maybe I just don't know how, or it's just kind of, I never really was given an example of how to pray with a brother or sister in Christ before. Well, that's the fun part of being disciples. We get to learn together as we pray individually and together. We sing, like this morning, Sweet Hour of Prayer. There's a many number of wonderful hymns. Abba, Father, I need thee every hour. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Many other hymns on prayer, but we sing about it. But how often do we actually engage in meaningful, loving prayer, dependent prayer, like Jesus details here. Jesus knew that we will struggle with prayer. In fact, Jesus had such a powerful, active prayer life that in other passages, his disciples even came and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? John did this ministry with his disciples. Would you teach us how to pray? Because many times Jesus would go away to a certain place, the text says. Jesus had certain places where he often went to pray. Disciples knew that he had a close relationship with his Heavenly Father, and they wanted to have that relationship in prayer. And here Jesus says, when you pray, he gives instructions about prayer. As we think of the challenge it is to pray in this busy day and age, and looking at my own life and talking with Christians over the last 15, 20 years of preparing for ministry and now getting to serve in ministry as a pastor, it's been clear to me or made apparent to me many times that praying to God has become kind of a puzzling endeavor to many Christians. Some Christians have just stopped praying with one another altogether, and I've seen this, and it's sad to see that many people, when we have a prayer meeting or have a time of prayer or a time to pray together, they don't know what to do, and no wonder many Christians don't know how to pray well because we don't do it together. We don't learn. It's sports season. Football's going on. You see some teams that are struggling. And I won't mention any teams by name that are in Pennsylvania. But I know I lost all of us now. Sometimes you have good years. Sometimes you have bad years, right? Not always, but nah, I know. But many times it comes down to efficiency. Other teams that win are just more efficient in that game than playing the game well. Whatever the reason would be, and many times it comes back to how are we practicing? Are we practicing well enough? Are we practicing well? Do we have the right people practicing together? And as I remember playing in baseball and a small football team, the coach would often say, guys, we're practice how you're going to play how you practice. We're going to play how you practice. If we practice hard and we put our all into this, then we will be well more equipped to actually play the game well. Perhaps as Christians, we could say in one aspect, as we pray, so we grow. As we engage and flourish in our prayer life to the Lord, so we will grow. Remember the children's song? Read your Bible. Pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible. Forget to pray and you shrink, shrink, shrink. How many of you sung that in Sunday school? You remember that? Okay, that was kind of a fun song. And in one sense, that is true. God has given us his word. If we are not in his word, if we're not reading his word and understanding it well and applying to our hearts, we won't be able to grow into all that God wants us to be. We've looked at that in Ephesians 4, that we'll be a body that's mature and every part, strengthened and working together and not being tossed to and fro by winds of false teaching. We want to grow in God's word. And along with God's word, we also are given prayer. As we look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. We want to see how Jesus gets out there. We got to move through this quickly, but in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 6, there is a handout in your bulletin too, I forgot to mention, if that would be helpful as we go through here. But in Matthew 6, 1, he starts this section, the Sermon on the Mount, with beware, watch out, beware. That's a word that gets your attention, or should get our attention. Beware. And what does he want his disciples, those who would truly follow him, to not fall into a trap of? He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Now, when you think about this, you wait first, if you just stop there, you'd be like, but we have to minister to people. We need to share the gospel with them. Of course, we're going to be seen by other people, but as we read along, Jesus says the trap of ministry or the trap of ministering to others is that if we're not careful, we will only do it, notice he says, before other people in order to be seen by them. Not in order to ultimately glorify God, not in order to show them the love of Christ, but just to be seen so that people will praise us is where it's going. And he says, beware, because if you do that, then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. God will not bless pride. He never blesses pride, and he will not bless pride in the hearts of his children when they're serving out of pride. So God, Jesus says, beware of that. And in the context here, he's in the Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle. And if you were here with our missions conference weekend several weeks ago with missionary Kurt Lemansky, he reminded us that in chapter 5, verse 20, That is probably the pivotal point in this Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds or is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And what he's saying is the Pharisees were really good about looking good on the outside and being seen by others. In fact, they would wear certain robes of a long length. And at times when they were about to give a prayer, they'd ring a trumpet and have a trumpet blown. Oh, let's listen to the prayer that this Pharisee, and he would stand on a corner and, "Oh, I'm so great and I'm so thankful that I'm not like these other people." And all of these, they would make a big show of three important things, ministries: giving, praying, and fasting. We don't have time to go through all of chapter 6, but Jesus is going to highlight three things that the Pharisees highlighted and say, you need to operate in this good ministry this way. And one of those is prayer. In chapter 5, verse 48, right before verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "You therefore must be perfect or complete or whole as your heavenly Father is complete." We heard that word teleos a lot with Dr. Lemansky. And a big part of being whole in the way that we live, a soul that is wholly right with God and right and complete in Him, is making sure that we are doing ministry, living out ministry for God's glory, not our own. The Pharisees took great pride in actively giving to the needy or praying and fasting, but they did it for their own glory. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be like them. As we see Christ moving closer to what was many times called the Lord's Prayer, when we look through this passage, I want us to be aware of a couple things. Not to go into grammar too much, but you'll see this when you pray, when you give, when you fast. You see this throughout here. You sometimes is singular and sometimes it's plural. We can't see that in our English thing, but in the original languages, Jesus at times would go from, for instance, in chapter 6, verse 2, he's going to talk about giving. In verse 2, he says, "Thus when you..." Now, I grew up in Georgia for 8 years, and I like to say that's kind of, but I've lived in Pennsylvania longer now than Georgia, which is incredible for me as a military brat traveling all the time. But we would say, "y'all," "you all." And if we were talking to one person, it was clear, "you." I guess up here sometimes they say "yuns," right? "Yuns." I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm still "y'all." Maybe one day, but I don't know. But Jesus here in 6:2, it's as if he said, "Therefore, when you all..." He's speaking plurally to a group. "When you all give to the needy," assuming that they're going to give to the needy, make sure you do it the right way. But then, when he gets to verse 3 and 4, he says, "But when you give to the needy," now it's singular, each individual disciple, "when you personally are giving to someone, make sure you're not doing it and to be a big show. Do it quietly. And God will honor you for that, instead of boasting about it." That's important because when we get to the next section on prayer, he does that as well. When you pray, assuming that we will be praying, look at verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites." Now he's plural, it's a plural. When you all are praying, don't be hypocritical. Because the hypocrites, verse 5, love to stand and pray in the synagogues, at the street corners. Why? That they may be seen by others. Is it wrong to pray in public? Not at all. But if you're doing it for those motives, just to be seen by others, for them to say, "Wow, that's a righteous person. Wow, they're amazing. Wow, they sure love the Lord. Wow." And it's all about us? Then you're wasting your time, Jesus says. That's the only reward you're going to get from God. You're not going to be blessed by Him for that. We get to verse 6, and he goes singular. "But when you pray..." Now he goes to individual. So there is a call to pray publicly and corporately, but there's also a call individually as well. "When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret," like a prayer closet, a special place, "and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now he's not saying every time we pray we need to get down in some bunker and pray and all that, but he's saying your prayer to God is a very personal thing between you and God. When it's private and personal, don't go out and say, "Oh man, I had 6 great hours of prayer today with me and God. You should have been there. You would have heard." And I'm not saying it's wrong if you pray for 6 hours, that's wonderful. But don't brag about it. No, it's between you and the Lord. And pray earnestly to the Lord personally. But it's not just personal, because now we get to the very familiar passage in verse 7. And leading on, he goes, "And when you pray," verse 7 through 15 and 7 and 8, it's all plural now. When you pray, disciples, when you pray together, when you as a group pray, well, all of you, when you pray together, "do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do." We'll talk about that in a moment. So he moves to the plural here. If you were to go down to verse 16, he goes to talk about fasting. We got to move through here really quick. When you fast, he says, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces. Here, he's talking plural again to a group. But then he goes to singular, verse 17 and 18. But when you fast individually, verse 18, that your individual fasting. So I just want to show that the you sometimes is a group of prayers together and individual, because both aspects of prayer are important. So when you pray, verse 5, Jesus expects his disciples to be praying privately. When he says when you pray, not if, when you pray. He's assuming we're going to be praying as his disciples. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Jesus expects his disciples to be praying privately and corporately, personally and together. That's an observation we just have to make here. So prayer is not an option for disciples. It's a calling. And both of those are important, both the singular, personal, and plural, corporate. He says you must not be like the hypocrites. He talked about hypocritical giving, hypocritical praying, hypocritical fasting throughout this section. He does not want our ministry for his glory as disciples to just be, to be for us, to be hypocritical, to be seen by others. So we see that as well. These are just observations as we get closer to this. He also says, do not heap up empty phrases when you pray. The King James says, vain repetitions, empty, vain, just repeating over and over and over again. I think sometimes people may pray because they're nervous, or maybe it's just a habit, and I'm not here to whatever, but God knows his name. Do you see when we get to chapter 6 here, verse 9, our Father in heaven, and that's important, but we don't see repeatedly, so Heavenly Father, so Heavenly Father, so Heavenly Father, so Heavenly Father. Some people just do it as a habit. Some people will say God's name over and over and over again because they think that that's going to make it more spiritual. Christ is saying, no, it's not. That's not. God knows what you need. You don't need to impress him. He wants your heart. But we do need to say the right words, because the words do show. We need to speak well from our heart, but don't repeat things. The Gentiles, the unbelievers, pagans around them, will do all kinds of crazy things in their idol worship. They have these vain, weird things repeated in these seances, and they go all crazy, and they try to repeat over and over something to get themselves worked up. And it's like, hey, you're speaking to your Heavenly Father. Come to him in the right way, but don't go crazy and just think that you have to impress him with your many words. Unbelievers do that way, he says. The Gentiles, he means unbelieving people, are those, verse 8, who are not known by God as his children. So what is Jesus saying? Let's go through this briefly this morning. Well, we got to move quick. First, we see that Jesus Christ instructs his disciples to pray to their Heavenly Father with hearts of worship. If you look at verse 9, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, a very personal relationship that we have with God. He is our Father. He's our personal Father, because if we have put our trust in him through faith in Christ, we no longer are children of the devil, but now we've been brought into the family of God. Pray to your Father, and he is in heaven. He is lifted high. And hallowed be your name. This word hallowed means holy, set apart, incomparable, reverence and worship. When we come to God, we dare not come demanding, flippant. We come to him in reverence and set him apart from anyone else that we might be talking to. Your kingdom come, your will be done, verse 10. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This speaks of coming to God with worship, hearts of worship, worshiping him as for he truly is, the God of heaven, but also as our Heavenly Father, and his name is to be glorified and made holy and reverenced in his kingdom. We look forward to him coming and setting up his kingdom on earth. We look forward to that day, but we trust his timing. Your will be done on earth as it's in heaven. We humble ourselves, and this leads into that next reality of humbling ourselves before him as we come in worship. We must pray to God for his will, not our own. His timing, not our own. When in Sunday school, we've been looking at Habakkuk, and Habakkuk's learning that lesson. Lord, these are my desires, but I need to trust you and your plan. Your will be done. His will is always done on heaven. May it also be done on earth in that perfect way. This helps us at the very beginning as we pray to have a heavenly, accurate, big picture view on life, especially on our immediate circumstances. Lord, you're in control, and you're my heavenly Father. Does this mean that we have to repeat the Lord's Prayer every time we pray? No. And there are some religions that's what they do. You want to pray? Okay, I only know one prayer. I pray the Lord's Prayer. Really, technically, it's the disciples' prayer. This is a good, wonderful prayer to memorize. I think we should memorize it because this is one that helps us get in the mindset of prayer. But as we pray, Jesus isn't saying, we're not vain repetitions, but this is the heart, a heart of worship. Coming to God with hearts of worship, adoration, thanksgiving. But also we see that Jesus instructs his disciples not just to have a heart of worship, but he also says that we must come to our Heavenly Father with humble hearts. Look at verse 11. Give us today, or this day, our daily bread. Humbly coming to God and saying, God, I need your provision for even the most elementary things in my life. The food I eat, we could go on from there. The clothes, the finances, whatever, Lord, it all comes from you. So would you give me today what I need and help me, even goes with this, is a humility, a asking God and coming to him with dependence. When you think about prayer, we've mentioned this before, but prayer is the Christian's declaration of dependence upon God. It helps me think. Prayer helps me remind myself that I need to humbly come to God. I do want to say, when we don't pray to God, we're saying, God, I'm fine. I'm fine. No, when we come to God in prayer, we should be saying, Lord, I need you. I need you for my daily bread, let alone everything in my life. Prayer is beautiful in the life of a Christian because it helps us, reminds us, it keeps us humble before God, realizing that we need him in every area of our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. We already looked at verses 1 through 8 leading up here and how humility, not hypocrisy, humility is an antidote that helps crush the poisonous sin of hypocrisy. But there's two things here that Christ is going to say, not just humility. There's another aspect. We'll look at that really soon here. I remember when I was doing some plumbing work. I did plumbing for a summer, for the whole summer, one summer in Georgia. And they had this cool plumbing putty epoxy. It's cool stuff. And we were putting pipes in coming out of a brick that was doing like a faucet coming out of brick. And I'd never seen this stuff before. I hadn't really done much with plumbing. But this was going to form a quick bond, almost like concrete, around this pipe on the brick. And there were two parts to this, and you tore it off, and it was one part of the epoxy, and the other part was another compound, and when you mixed them together, you had about 30 seconds, so that stuff started hardening. And you quick mixed it together, and you had to just get the right amount, and then you'd form it around it, and you'd step back, and it would just, the two would merge, and it would make a very hard and strong compound around the pipe. Jesus wants us to pray to him with worshipful hearts and hearts of humility, but also thirdly, we see that along with the humility must be honesty before God. And when we are honest before God and we are humble with him in our hearts, then true prayer takes place because we're not playing games with God at that point. We're not just asking for what we want. We're wanting his will and his glory. So thirdly, in verse 12 through 13, he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're being honest with God. Here the debts is not money. It's for would you forgive us for the sins that we've committed to you since we last prayed? To the last even today. We know that Christ has said that he forgives all our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as we pray to God, we dare not come to him with sin in our hearts and then saying, God, would you bless me? I want to worship you. No, be honest. Lord, I have failed today in this way. Would you forgive me and help me be forgiving others when they sin against me? This phrase that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, it could possibly be translated, deliver us from the evil one. And I think that may be a better rendition of it, because even in there, there's an article, the evil. Deliver us from the evil, perhaps even the evil one. May we not yield to sin. Lord, would you help me not give in to sin today? Or in this situation. What a wonderful, honest, humble way to pray to God. Now, this is a prayer, and this is why I like to call this the disciples' prayer. Jesus never had to pray this prayer. Lord, I don't want to sin. He wouldn't sin. But he sets an example for us as we need to pray. calls us. This is a prayer to God, asking him to lead us, guide us, help us to yield to his leading rather than to sin's temptations. This comes with an aspect of confession to God, confessing that we need his forgiveness, confessing that we need his help to forgive others. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, asking, supplication, they're all here. These prayer is an important section in Scripture because it basically sets for us this thought, this idea that church growth involves Christians growing together through biblical and unhypocritical prayer to God. There is nothing in this prayer that Christ presents that is hypocritical if we would pray this way with a true heart. As we said, God wants the church to grow. He wants his church to flourish, and he gives us ordinary means of grace, ordinary means of spiritual growth. He gives us Scripture. He gives us the preaching and teaching ministries of his church, but he also gives us prayer so that on a very personal level we can grow in our relationship with him, but also together as we pray with others. So I want to ask us some questions as we consider what Jesus is saying here. And this is just for us to personally meditate and reflect on. I hope you consider these, maybe take them home with you today and pray about them, no pun intended. First of all, and I'm asking myself this, is my prayer life, is your prayer life, is it hypocritical or unhypocritical before God and others? We talk about prayer a lot, but do we actually pray? And when we pray, are we praying to be seen by others? Or are we truly praying to worship our great God and our Heavenly Father and pour out hearts of worship and humility and honesty before him? When we pray, are our hearts worshipful? When we pray to God, is our heart humble? When you pray to God, is your heart honest? If we were honest with ourselves, we struggle with having all three of these at the same time, but that's what prayer does for us. You can be in the middle of traffic on the road, or traffic at Walmart, inside and outside, right? You can be in the doctor's office wondering, why is this taking so long? Or maybe you're at the doctor's office wondering, why do I have to be here? I never thought I'd be sick like this. At those moments, what a blessing and gift it is to have prayer. Say, Lord, I don't understand all what's going on right now, but I know this, that you are my Father who is in heaven. And I want to praise you. I want to thank you. And I want your will to be done in this circumstance as it is in heaven. And even if now don't close your eyes if you're driving, okay? Now do that. But even then, just that beginning, I need to remember that more. So I don't turn to that, I won't say the word, that idiot, oh wait, I said it, who drove past me the wrong way. When I'm running, Lord, thank you that you're my Father in heaven. Help me to think correctly about you. Prayer puts us if it's right, done in worshipful, humble, honest hearts, then we are not hypocrites when we come to pray. And I would just say that these components, we've mentioned this before, but these three components of worship and humility and honesty, they are essential core components for biblical prayer. You can't biblically pray without them. Another question, do you pray to God personally and regularly when you pray? Not if, but when you pray, do you pray to God regularly, on a regular basis, and personally? Charles Spurgeon had this quote. He was burdened for his church in prayer. He said, quote, "It is not a matter of time so much as a matter of the heart. If you have the heart to pray, you will find the time." If we really want to get to the doctor, we'll move everything around to get to the doctor. We might even call an Uber if we have to. If we really want to watch the football game, we'll get that work done. We'll get that stuff done. So when the game starts, we can be right there and fill in the blank. If we really want to pray in a world that is so getting faster and faster all the time, we will find the time, but we have to have a heart that wants to pray. Do you pray to God personally regularly? I hope you do. It's a battle though, isn't it? It is a battle to pray regularly to God. But you know, the beautiful thing is as we do this more and more, we start to treasure this time with God more and more. And that sweet hour of prayer, all of a sudden, maybe doesn't seem like an impossibility. I remember singing that so many times. Sweet hour of prayer? An hour? I can't imagine praying for a whole hour. Well, maybe you break that hour up, maybe throughout the day. But also, the song isn't saying we have to have an hour of prayer. It's probably more the season of prayer. This sweet time of prayer with God. I think Martin Luther is credited with, or at least it's attributed to him, with saying, I have so much to do today that I can't help, I have to spend at least 3 hours of prayer this morning with God. I used to laugh at that, but the more I see that, the more I see, you know what? I need this time with God. It can be busy mornings, busy afternoons, busy evenings, but we must get time to pray with God personally. Do you regularly pray to God corporately, publicly, with your local church? Our Father, it's the plural one where he gave a plural. Do we regularly pray to God with your local church? Charles Spurgeon again, he was lamenting the spiritual weakness that was happening in the 1800s, late 1900s in England, and we see where England has gone. It's a sad story. We see it starting to repeat in America. But he said, the condition of the church may, not always, but may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. So is the prayer meeting a graceometer. That's a cool word he made. And from it, we may judge the amount of divine working among a people. If God be near a church, it must pray. And if he be not there, one of the first tokens of his absence will be slothfulness in prayer. May we not be slothful in prayer. And he's talking about praying together. May we look forward to times of prayer. And I'm just talking about Wednesday night. I'm talking about any time we can be together with a brother and sister in Christ. We need to be praying together. We dare not spend time in prayer together to encourage one another, to build one another up. And we can do it over the phone. We can do it in person. The best is in person. But we need to pray together. And last question, in what ways do you need to grow? Do I need to grow and mature in this important ministry of prayer? We all have areas to grow. No one has arrived. No one gets to the point where they say, yep, I figured it all out. My life in prayer is perfect. No, it's a work in progress. But hopefully as we grow, what ways do we need to keep growing and keep maturing? You know, you maybe have been a prayer warrior. We have so many wonderful prayer warriors at Open Door Bible Church. I thank God for them. Some people who can't come physically, they're praying. They get the prayer sheet emailed. They take the prayer sheet. We have the bulletin. We want prayer to be a focal point here at Open Door Bible Church as we are around the community. But we all have areas where we can grow in that way. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is a regular, must be a regular part of the Christian life. Church growth. If we want to grow as a church, if we want to grow, it's not always, and many times it's not, just marketing yourself in the community. You can grow a church really fast. I'm not saying it's wrong necessarily to put out flyers and all that kind of stuff, but we want to grow God's way. And we can send out the flyers, send out the mailers, but if people come here and they find a church that's not praying, then why are we having people come? We want people to come to a church that's growing, is healthy, is live. And church growth involves us growing together in Christ through biblical and unhypocritical prayer to God. We have a couple handouts, a couple flyers, things I'd encourage you to pick up at the table when you leave in a moment. There's a little pamphlet that says How to Pray. It actually walks through the Lord's Prayer. And it gives us some pointers, some encouragements. So I just want to read one thing from there. Like what it said, there's a necessity of prayer. Jesus taught that prayer is not an option, not something to do when we feel like it. It is a God-given responsibility. And I love how it says, too, to help you pray consistently, ask God for a friend with whom you can share and pray. There's a lot of good friends right here. I'd encourage you, if you are struggling in prayer, find another brother and sister in Christ. You say, hey, I really want to grow in prayer. Can we pray together? Let's pray through Scripture. Let's find, they encourage you to find some prayers here in the Bible that you can see how people prayed to God. We have some things coming up this week in our country. There's elections coming up in our community, in our state. There's also a little flyer praying for the United States, praying for America. Get whatever tools you can to pray. One of the best tools is right here. The best tool, God's Word. May we be a people of prayer so that God can help us grow in Him. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have had to be able to worship you at communion. Thank you for how Jesus Christ set the perfect example of prayer for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn how to grow in Christ through prayer. Father, we cannot grow apart from the commands you've given us to obey. May we be a healthy church that grows in all these aspects of the word, of prayer, of fellowship and unity and growth in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.